Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Cagna. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from USA Today Lions Wire. And this is the official Lions podcast of USA Today Lions Wire. Eric, calamitous ending to the game on Sunday as the Lions fall to Washington 19-16 at FedEx Field. So calamitous, in fact, that Dwayne Haskins lost himself at the end of the game. He's taking selfies with the fans, and they had to send out Case Keenum to take the final victory snap.
What a mess.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that today. We're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving Day tomorrow. Because today is Wednesday for me and Eric. Who knows when everybody out there is listening.
Hopefully they're not listening to it post-game.
If they do, they do. Well, no, then I kind of like that because I could sit back and listen to these idiots. They don't know anything. Because, you know, something totally different is going to happen in the game, you know. But, and we appreciate all listeners. Yes. Whenever they're listening and whether they think we're good or terrible. You know, a listen's a listen. We appreciate that. All right, let's start off with the injury report as we always do. There's no practice Monday. They did a walkthrough on Tuesday. No media access on Wednesday because it's the dress rehearsal for the big one tomorrow.
So very strange week as far as evaluating the injury report because there's no real substance for the team to utilize, I guess, to make a proper evaluation. So the no practice on Monday, they produced estimates on what they believed the players would be capable of. The walkthrough is literally just a walkthrough.
So everybody can be in full practice on Tuesday because we're walking through.
But again, they're required to list what they think is going to be. But yeah, it's a, and then they're practicing today, but how much is hard to say, especially with the game tomorrow. They're not going to want to go too hard, but they do have a couple players with concussions. And if you want to clear those players with concussions, you have to have a full practice. And they haven't had one yet. So it's a very different situation having this Thursday game because, you know, everything is bunched up and it's just all on top of each other. And from an injury standpoint here, it's all guesses, right? Like they can have a player here who they're estimating was not able to practice Monday or Tuesday, and then all of a sudden full practice on Wednesday and they can play on Thursday, and they would kind of surprise everyone. We're recording before the injury designations come out, so again, we're just going to be kind of making estimates on what we think the players are at based on what we know so far, but these are like I said, just kind of guesses on what we think is going to happen with these injuries.
All right, let's kick off with number. I think I can tell you. I can forecast this one for you, though. Matthew Stafford with his back and his hip, he's not playing tomorrow. I'm guessing 100%.
Yeah, no. I don't think he's going to play either. This is, they have said that he has been, the report last week on Sunday.
Yeah, we know. He's desperate to play.
Was that he is maniacal in his work ethic in order to get back onto the field.
Wonderful.
But the problem is, you're now 3-7-1.
Season's over.
And
best you can do is 8-7-1.
And you're not playing this game. So now let's say, you're at 12 games into the season. You have 4 games remaining in a lost season. And you almost have to save him from himself, right? Like, he does not need to play the last 4 games of the season.
No,
there's
a waste.
There's absolutely no reason. And I get
unless he wants to chase he already has all the Lions records. If he wants to chase all-time records and blah blah blah.
And again,
but he'll still be able to have an opportunity at that because he started playing at 20 years old.
Right.
You know,
and he already owns most of them anyways, right?
With what?
Most of the records, Lions records, he owns.
Well, yeah, he's got all the Lions records, but if he wants to chase Manning and and Breeze or whatever, like, he could.
But
I'm not saying that's
no.
what he should do. That's definitely not what he mm-hmm. should do. But
his stance has always been, you only get so many games in the NFL.
It's a limited shelf life.
Yes.
Unless you're Tom Brady or George Blanda.
Right.
All right, there's a couple out there.
Don
Wilbach.
Exactly. And so, if you have an opportunity to play in a game, you need to take advantage and play in a game. And he wants to play. But you almost have to save him from himself and say, look, even if he returns, he's still going to be in pain. He might just be capable of playing, but it's still supposed to be you know, painful, right?
I guess sure.
I said pain, but
it's broken back,
right? So they almost the fact that they haven't preemptively shut him down at this point, I think, is just a courtesy to him to say, hey, all right, you know, keep working, you know, nice, you know, pat on the back, and you're our superstar, so we don't want to ruffle feathers with you or anything like that. But man, if he comes back for the final two games, that just seems ludicrous to me. So he's not playing this game. Then you have four games left. At some point, you just have to say, okay, buddy, go home. You have a wife who's coming off brain surgery. You have three children under, 4 years old?
And youngsters.
Right? Spend a little bit more time with them. Keep helping young Driscoll.
Because they're not going to be under four forever.
Right? Mm-hmm. Keep helping Driscoll and Blau. And I know the fans love to see him, and he is one of the most fun quarterbacks to watch, and he throws the prettiest football in the league, in my opinion. And I'm not saying I don't want to see him, but my goodness, let's get him healthy, and let's do what's best for him and what's best for the team, and just and if they lose this game, I don't know how you don't just say come out of next week and say, okay, we're going to put him on the shelf for the season.
All right. Marvin Hall, he's got a foot injury.
Yeah, he left early from last Sunday's game on crutches and a walking boot after the game. Not uncommon. And if this wasn't a short week, players have recovered from situations like that. But being on a short week, I don't think there's any way he's going to play.
They wouldn't let him return punts anyways.
Well, and that the funny thing is that he was in play for returning punts because Agnew's hurt. And then now when he's out,
Danny Amendola's going to be back.
Right, there. You're now on your third punt returner in Danny Amendola. And the nice thing is that they have depth at this position this year. Yep. And if Danny can't go, I think McKissick has done some in the past.
He probably
as well.
Does. He seems like a return man with the speed.
He's done kick returns in the NFL. Yeah. I believe he has done punt returns in the past. So they can overcome this. I think what will be interesting is if he doesn't play, which is the expectation, you now have three running backs, three wide receivers, and four tight ends. And one of those tight ends is your hybrid fullback, right? And
we're going big. And we're lining up in big. We're big formations. Okay.
I'm with you. But I think from
Thanksgiving Day throwback, we're gonna run the single wing.
I'm game for putting six offensive linemen on the field and just going. That's fine, and it's going to be ridiculously hard to do against the Bears, but I'm okay with that. So I think that they could promote somebody, and because they're going to want an insurance player. So it could be Chris Lacy, could be Travis Fulgham. By the time this even gets published, I would not be surprised if they actually announce somebody while we're recording right now. Because I think it's going... I'm projecting it's going to happen.
Well, you'll let everybody know retroactively live.
Yeah, so...
If it does happen while we're sitting here.
My kind of gut says it's going to be Chris Lacy. Or my head says it's going to be Chris Lacy, but my gut really wants it to be Travis Fulgham. I really want another rookie. Yeah, I guess. My heart. I would love to see them add a 12th rookie to this roster.
All right. Rashawn Melvin, ribs.
Yeah. Late addition to the injury report last week. And again, the short week works against him. Midweek injuries are typically problematic. He sat out. Oruarie stepped in. Played very well, got an interception, and expectations are the same thing's going to happen again. You're going to see Oruarie step into that role, which means Slay gets 100%, Coleman gets his normal 75%, then another 25% replacing Coleman, and then that leaves that 75% of snaps for Oruarie. And let's see what he's got, right? You drafted him, and you were starting him at different points in the preseason and in training camp, so... Give him a shot. He got you one interception. One game in, he ended your five-game interceptionless streak. So, kids earn some more playing time. Line them up. Let's go. I'm sure with Mitch throwing his way, he'll have a chance at another one.
Oh, jeez. Watch that. All right. Return man Jamal Agnew. We mentioned him a second ago.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about punt returns. Kick returns will be Ty Johnson, like we saw last week.
All right, quarterback, Jeff Driskel, hamstring.
Yeah, limited. The other guys have all been were non-participants. This is a limited participant. So Blau has been taking first-team reps with Driskel. The Bears aren't buying it. The Lions are expecting Driskel to play. He is expecting to play. The Bears' defensive coordinator basically came right out and said, Chuck Pagano basically came out and said, yeah, we saw how he injured his hamstring in the game. He's going to be fine. We're game planning for him. So, and I think the expectations
he wasn't
should be there.
Humming like David Blau. That's my name,
no, my name did you did you see that other people are starting to?
I caught on to that, and I'm happy. I'm leading that trend. Very pleased.
So yeah, I'm expecting Driskel to play. And I think, who knows, maybe they'll
We've done this before, though, this year.
Sure.
We expected Matthew Stafford to play, and all of a sudden Jeff Driskel's playing.
Yeah, but this is a hamstring.
No, yeah, and so, it's a different situation. It's not a broken back. It's a different situation. All right.
But who knows? You know, hamstrings are things that can be re-injured very easily. Yeah. And if Driskel comes out and starts and injures his hamstring on the first snap doing a read option, it's going to be the David Blau show then. And then if, for whatever reason, David Blau goes down, well, it's Logan Thomas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I would be excited to see that. It rarely happens. Mm-hmm. For some reason in the NFL, the third quarterback only gets hurt with, like, two plays left in the game. You know, so, yeah, then they have to bring in a position player to take a couple snaps. But they don't do anything. I would love to see, and I don't wish injury upon anyone, but I would love to see a game where a team was so screwed over that they had a run with one of the position players playing quarterback for three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
It would be interesting.
It would be very interesting. And I after Logan Thomas, I think they would have been Nick Bowden. He's another college quarterback, but he, you know,
he's on IR.
Transitioned. Yep, he's out. And I do think there's one more, and I'm trying to remember who it is. But I also think they could do like the Wildcat with J.D. McKissic. I think they
I'm sure there's plenty of contingencies.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but yeah, you know, Logan Thomas was a 4-year starter at Virginia Tech. It's not like
he was a quarterback.
It used to be Golden Tate was the emergency, right? But Golden was never a quarterback, right? And then there was a time when there was talk of Quandre Diggs because he was a high school quarterback. But
he gone.
Logan Thomas is like a legit. He threw the ball around in college for 4 years. He could. This is something he could do. And read options are right up his alley, coming from VaTech. So, I mean, it would be a fascinating Thanksgiving game on a national audience to see Logan Thomas chuck that ball around. Let's hope it doesn't get to that. Even though it would be interesting.
All right, the embattled T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah, he has lowest snap count of the season, and I think that had a lot to do with the fact that he was they reported him on the injury report at like 8:30 on Saturday night. It was very unusual, but then they added him to it, and then he had his lowest snap count of the season. He didn't have a catch in the game. He struggled in blocking, and so I think those were all related. I don't know if he'll be able to – how far along he is because, again, we haven't had a full practice to really estimate. But he could very much be limited again this game, which would mean more Jesse James.
More Jesse James and the aforementioned Logan Thomas and if he's not playing quarterback.
And possibly Isaac Nauta.
Yeah. All right. We'll band the next two together, Trey Flowers, Frank Ragnow, and the concussion protocol.
So they have a little bit different of a path because on Monday they cleared Frank Ragnow for a limited practice, but Flowers still was at the no practice on Monday. But then on Tuesday, Flowers went to limited and Ragnow went to full. Now, you still have to pass a full practice, full padded practice, and then be evaluated by an independent doctor in order to pass concussion protocol. So today, if Flowers was upgraded to full and Ragnow stayed at full, they would have both met the requirements up until the doctor's visit. that doctor's visit could happen today before designations are released. It could happen after designations are released. But it's possible that both of them are able to play because they will have passed the protocol. It's also possible that brain injuries are unique and neither one passes. So they're very much up in the air. The optics on this say they're headed in the right direction to play, but we won't know really. We might not even know till tomorrow morning.
All right, Deshaun Hand with his ankle.
Now, the fact that he was listed as limited is an upgrade from last week, an encouraging enough sign that he could be a game time decision as well. We'll find out when designations get released. They could just rule him out, but if he's not ruled out, that's a good sign.
All right, Tracy Walker with his knee.
Yeah, you can echo the same thing I just said with Hand there. Went from no practice to limited this week, so it's an upgrade and could be a game time decision for him as well.
Snacks Harrison, the groin.
Nothing out of the ordinary here. This is just typical rest your big fella and let him unleash on game day.
All right, finally, Sam Martin, but that same deal. Right?
Yeah, same deal with Sam Martin. He should be good to go.
That might have been the longest we've ever spent on the injury report, but we did dabble in some other subjects.
Right. Yeah. I feel like we covered some other topics there.
All right, talk about the Washington game, 1916 loss. Lions, as you did point out, about playing 12 rookies perhaps this week or having 12 on the roster this week.
Very possible.
Played 11 last week.
Of the 46. 11 of the 46.
Quarter of the team's rookies.
Amazing, right? And every one of them played except for Bo Benchow. Bo Benchow was the only player to not get a snap. Michael Jackson, the corner, he only saw two snaps. Those were both on special teams. Everyone else played on their respective offense or defense in addition to special teams work. The two new guys and that showed us the most were Nauta and Owuari, who we've both kind of talked about. We've just talked about each of them, and I thought they played very well. But, you know, I think it'd be a good idea to take a look at these rookies a little bit further. I think even if you're going to see some of them be inactive this week, especially if, like, Frank Ragnow comes back, Benchow will probably be inactive again. Mm-hmm. But some of these other rookies have kind of work their way into a nice spot. Like, for example, Oruarie, he was running at, like, cornerback six, and then Noah Agnew, he jumps up to five. Then Mike Ford struggles, and now he jumps Mike Ford, and now he's cornerback four. And now Noah Melvin, and he's all of a sudden he's quarterback three. So Oruarie could be quarterback three until Melvin comes back, and then he could probably stay in that cornerback four spot. So,
or Slayer Coleman get hurt, he becomes cornerback two.
Oh, geez, Obese, right?
Well, they can go either, these things can go either way.
No, I hear you. But I do think Oruarie is in a spot now where
it's time to develop him.
Yeah.
You know, let's let him go out there and make mistakes or whatever.
I don't think he's going to be any worse than cornerback four the rest of the season. And that typically means you're getting on the field. Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I don't even know, because I didn't even get upset about this game, because I'd like to say the sad part about this game. Well, there's a lot of sad parts about this game, but the worst one was Jeff Driscoll's somewhat effective in his first two games with the Lions.
Sure.
And all of a sudden he turns into a backup quarterback on Sunday, throws his first three interceptions, and you know, it's expected at a certain point that there's going to be enough tape on him and they're going to be able to game plan against him.
Sure. And then
they also had a fumble.
The fumble.
We talk about turnovers.
Well, that was Scarborough had a fumble, right?
Yeah, well, I know we had four turnovers total in the game.
Right.
I just mentioned the three picks first.
Yeah, that Scarborough fumble, I felt like the whistles were really late in that game.
But that was a fumble. But his fumble, that was a fumble.
It was. Yeah. But his momentum was stopped.
Yeah, I know. No, those can go either way.
Right, you but
know, I don't know.
Regardless of that play, I just felt like in general.
Well, sure. I think that as the season goes on and as replay keeps expanding, mm-hmm. it seems that they do delay all the whistles, because if something bizarre happens and it's a legal play, they're going to look terrible. But if they let it go a little while longer, you know. Like,
well, this is the Casey, Kerryon Johnson fumble in the end zone, right? The whistle was you just waited and waited and waited, and it never came. It's kind of felt eerily similar to that. But there was, I thought that was a theme. I thought they were consistent with it, at least. They were late with the whistle a lot that
game. If they do it for both teams and good and bad, like, it's no big deal. Except for the one piece of player safety.
Yeah, that's
when it comes to these delayed whistles, it's like, you know, somebody's going to get hurt, and it's going to be that, like, forward progress was stopped or the guy was down or whatever, and it's going to be like, oh crap, we screwed that up.
You know,
we got somebody hurt because we didn't put the we didn't pull the whistles out.
I completely agree with you, and that was one of my concerns when I was watching the game. I was like, these guys are flying into these piles late, and there's just no whistle. And it's obvious that it stopped, and guys are still flying in, and they're still pocketing that whistle. It seemed like a concern for me anyways. But yeah, the turnovers were problematic. And I think...
I was going to say, even more problematic than the turnovers was the special teams play.
Sure. And, I mean, you miss a field goal right off the bat, which puts you behind. Then you allow a punt return or a kick return for a touchdown, which is
with
something...
With the fumble, which then the announcer goes on this bizarre thing. Well, you know, that does affect teams when a guy fumbles the kickoff and puts the other team out of rhythm, and it's like, all right, no. You should be stopping them at the 12-yard line.
You should be.
And it was just one of those times that we were going to allow a 93-yard touchdown kick return.
But
it's still terrible.
The one thing that I do want to comment on that, though, was that when Patricia mentioned, when he was asked about that, his comment was, sometimes when a player does fumble the kickoff like that, that the Gunners will get a bit lackadaisical and lose their lanes, right?
It's a coaching issue.
This is where I'm going with this, is that I do think that they maybe got a bit lazy on that play.
Well, sure. And allowed, that's why you scored.
right. But I'm concerned.
Not because the universe tilted on its axis and all of a sudden he's rolling towards the end zone.
But I do think that this is a concern that I saw throughout that game. Now that special teams,
they're quitting. They're starting to quit.
Well, I don't know if it's quitting, but I think to me, it looked like they were moving the ball and they seemed very confident moving the ball.
They'd stall out. Yeah, they could move the football.
But then what would happen was that when they would stall out or when they would turn the ball over, they were just kind of like, yeah, you know, we're moving the ball. We're gaining yards.
We'll get it back.
We're getting, exactly. That's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like they were like, we'll get it back. And they will get it back all the way. But that's what I think. I actually think that it wasn't like that they were quitting. I actually think that they were more confident than what they were able to do.
Yeah,
and when you and
also
when you
scary.
Right. And I
you'd actually rather have them quit.
Well, you can correct
that.
It's right?
Apparent to everybody.
But for me, when I was watching the game, it looked like they were confident that they would be able to come back and get the win. And there was no urgency. And when you have that confidence, there's no urgency. And when they just didn't seem to have that urgency when they needed to. And then all of a sudden you see the Washington team looking at their second win of the season and a couple of young guys who haven't got a victory while they've been the starters. They're now amping it up and they're motivated and they're trying to get these wins. And the Lions are just like, we'll get it back. No worries. We fumbled again. Or we threw the interception again. No worries. We'll get it back. Oh, Prater's automatic. He'll hit another one. And then you just run out of time, and it's a loss. And now you're leaving there in a game that you should have won, in a game that you were controlling, basically shooting yourself in the foot because, I don't want to say lax, they were like lackadaisical, but they almost seemed like...
You do like that word.
I do. But that's what I think. I think like they were just like, nah, we'll get it back, and we'll be all right, and we'll do it. We're the better team. And because we're the better team, we're going to win. And that's not how the NFL works. That was my major concern. And again, this goes back to the coaches not being able to light a fire under them to say, we need to make a change now. Because yes, we're winning, the yardage, and yes, we're more efficient right now. But you can't turn the ball over. You can't make mistakes in special teams.
Special teams plays.
And you can't make special teams errors and turn the ball over and then not have that fire to counter that. And that fire wasn't there. And again, that goes back to the coaches, right? And I think that's really where my concern was, is wow, they needed to have fire there, and they didn't. And that was my huge takeaway from this game, was they looked confident as they could be, but they just waited too long. And that's scary to me, because that's a moving forward issue that you could run into. Time is not always their friend, and for a team that wants to control time, if you don't know how to control it, it's a problem. So that was my big concern walking away from the last Sunday's game.
All right, Bo Scarborough looked pretty good again on Sunday. 15 carries, 98 yards.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say it like this, where he's got something Kerryon Johnson and Ty Johnson don't, because I think both of those players are better players than Bo Scarborough.
Oh yeah.
He kind of fits a little better with the offensive line.
Yes.
He's not patient. He's a little more deliberate when it comes to hitting the hole. And I like more of the guy hitting the hole real hard, real fast, kind of like Ty Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to work better with the five guys up front. Scarborough has the feel of a Joik Bell. He's got that feel all over it. Like, here's this guy, you know, from the scrap heap, and he's winning the fans over at this point.
It should be no surprise that he spent time in Seattle, because he looks like a Seattle Seahawks running back. And that fits with what Bevel looks for in this offensive running game. I absolutely think Kerryon is way better than Bo. But I would argue that Bo's better than Ty Johnson right now.
Okay, well, you can make that point.
And
I like Johnson's speed. I like speedier backs. But yeah,
I do.
You can argue with me, and I could accept that Bo Scarborough might be a better player.
The big thing is decision-making right now. Scarborough is making quick decisions and just going with it, and Johnson is overthinking still, which is typical of a rookie. I think that will go away, and I think Johnson probably has the higher ceiling than Scarborough, I would say, for sure. But right now, Bo Scarborough is playing very well. And he was well over 100 yards, and then it got called back on some penalties, right?
Very Lions thing to do.
Yeah, but he's playing well, and if you look at the time, if you look at the run game with Bo versus not Bo, they're producing significantly better. They're like getting like 30 more yards on the ground. Their rushing average per touch is higher. You know, his yards after contact are very good, which lends to that. So there's a handful of things that he does that I think it's something that they've been looking for all season, right? You thought this is what they thought they would get out of C.J. Anderson. This is what they were hoping to get out of Trey Carson or Paul Perkins, but they found it here in Bo. And I think he's a running back that they're going to lean on next year. He would be a very nice complement to Kerryon Johnson. And then with Ty Johnson and McKissick in the backfield, that's a nice quadruple backfield that I think the Lions can build off moving forward. So he could be a guy who has solved some problems for them in the offseason, because he's a exclusive rights free agent, so they're going to get him back on the cheap. And there's really no reason for them not to keep him. He's motivated and playing well. Now, how will he do against this Bears front? That's going to be interesting, because Bears have a top 10 run defense, and they're going to want to lean on Scarborough again, and it'll be a nice, fun battle. I think that might be my favorite battle to watch on Thanksgiving, is how does that Lions run game play out against the Bears run defense?
It's not aunt versus uncle or anything. It's going to be, you know, some sort of football battle. Thanksgiving's usually a good battleground for families, you know.
Well, my Thanksgiving process is so much different now.
You carry the burden of hosting Thanksgiving.
Well, my wife is a terrific entertainer, and she always does a great job of hosting, and we've done this for years. And when I got credentialed, she still wanted to maintain the hosting, which was very cool. And like I said, she really enjoys it, does a great job with it. But I'm gone for 12 hours. You know, like, I know the game's only three.
What a great Thanksgiving for you.
But
avoid the family for 12 hours.
I know most people look at that and say, oh, you know, you just go to the game and you come back. You got drive time and that's about it. But No, I have to get there before the inactives, which come out at 11. I have to be in my seat prepared for that. And I got to get through security. I got to get down there. There's all this traffic from the parade and the turkey trot, right? Yeah. So I leave my house before 8 o'clock to get down there and settled before 11 to then be ready for the game. And then after the game, I have post articles to write. And so I'm back home between like 7 and 8 o'clock. And so that's a good 12 hours that I'm gone. So my family is nice enough to keep a plate for me. And I come home and eat. They wait to eat dessert until I get home, which is, again, very thoughtful. But I also walk in and they're like, here's your plate. We're waiting on you. And they
that's fair. I think that's fair. You also conspicuously leave out that the team's going to feed you tomorrow as well.
They will at like 10:30 in the morning.
Which is perfect. Because then when you get home.
Yeah, it will sustain me till 8 o'clock. Yeah. But it's a challenging day for my wife.
Yeah, it sounds horrible. Oh, yeah, for the missus.
For my wife, yes. Because she has...
Which is true. I wasn't being sarcastic there.
No, she has my two children, and then she'll get some help from grandparents. But, I will be gone for most of the day, and she'll toe the line, and it'll be a... There should not be any drama. By the time I get home, everybody will be happily fed and stuffed, and then it will be nice.
They'll be in submission, food coma.
Right, so
docile.
I will avoid the drama. The only drama I will see will be between 12:30 and 4.
Well, let's hope. There might be a drama-less game. All right. Taylor Decker named the Pro Football Focus's Team of the Week for the third time in 4 weeks.
He's been the NFL's best left tackle for three of the last 4 weeks.
This is a 25-game resume he's building for free agency. Started 4 weeks ago, and it's going to go for another 21. Right? Because he's under contract.
He's under contract next year.
He plays great in the next 21 games. He's going to earn himself a lot of money.
Probably
not here.
When I posted this, when I posted that article, I got a lot of people saying, I don't believe it.
I don't disagree with those people. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Pro Football Focus's determinations of what makes a great offensive lineman, mm-hmm. I don't exactly see it yet. And I'm not the keenest eye on the planet. But go ahead.
The big thing is he has not allowed a pressure. He didn't allow pressure last week at Washington. He didn't allow a pressure 2 weeks ago. And then the week before that, I think he allowed three. So in those three games, he was only allowing one pressure on, talking like 45, 50 snaps, right? So that's where he's playing well right now. He's playing well in pass pro. He's doing okay in the run game as well. I think Driscoll's running ability helps that. I think Bo Scarborough's style helps that. But Decker's been playing well. And while there are a lot of players that are not playing well, it's also important to recognize the ones that are.
So the run defense is approved. And that's over the last few weeks. I know you're going to be pointing out here. Yeah. But when it comes to Sunday, mm-hmm. Washington has a terrible offense. They dared Haskins to beat him, and he really couldn't. He was like 12 of 29. He's taking selfies with the fans, but it's not like he had a great game.
Oh, they didn't score offensive touchdown.
They pulled off the win.
Right.
But like... as far as the run game goes, Peterson's past his prime.
But it wasn't just Washington.
They don't know if they have a Geis yet.
It's the last few weeks. It's not just
one. I know you're going to point that out. But Sunday's kind of a misnomer.
Well, I think the big thing and the reason that I wanted I noted that in the notes here is that we're playing a Bears run offense that's 31st in the league. So they're not any better. And so ideally this should be a point of strength for the Lions going into Thursday's game, because right now they're getting healthier and getting guys back, they're allowing 30 yards less a game, 1 yard fewer per touch average per game, and so they're showing some teeth now that they didn't over the first 10 weeks. We're starting to see, or 9 weeks maybe, and now we're starting to see more of the efforts. Now it's a little too late, but it's if they want to be competitive and show things down the stretch, that's something they're going to need to do. They're going to need to keep that run defense up.
You want to? They add anything else about any of the other rookies from Sunday? You hit on
No, I think I think we touched on most of the guys as we've been talking about this right here. Austin Bryant, saw him a little bit. That's about
He played. Yeah, he was out there, so that's good to see.
Yeah.
All right. So with the loss, 3-7-1, they will get, if they lose Thursday, and we'll talk about that in a minute. They will be officially eliminated from playoff contention.
Correct.
They're right on the edge of it right now. Obviously, they're not making the playoffs. Like, but it's worth, we got to talk about it mathematically. It's worth noting. So, on the heels of that, they currently hold the 7th overall pick in the draft. There are some really bad teams in the league, so they could probably creep up maybe to 4 if they...
5, I think.
Okay, that was, I thought maybe they could push 4. Okay, we'll go with 5.
Maybe. I'm trying to, like...
I don't know who, if they'd have the tiebreaker over Arizona, how would that go? If they both finished 3-12-1.
Well, you've got Cincy and Washington are both worse than...
Cincy's the weird thing is we have a tie. So if Washington, if we finish with 3 wins, but if Washington gets 4, well,
then we're ahead, right? But
the Jets have won 4 games. They're already at 4 wins.
Did that Washington team look like they could beat anybody?
They look like they could beat us.
Right, but that's my point.
I'm sure they play the Giants again. They could beat them.
The Giants, but I think they're one of the top 4 anyway. So, yeah. I mean, it's the last somebody I neglect to remember who, and I apologize. Somebody pointed out that the top 4 teams play each other like in week 16. Like the four teams who hold the first 4 picks, they all like play each other like to see who's the worst. It's going to be a terrible like week 16 or something like that.
And when it comes with the Lions, unless they can get to number 1 or number 2 and to be able to take Chase Young, all the other guys are going to be who fits your team the best. They're all going to be roughly even. I mean, maybe some things will happen between now and then. And, of course, a lot of people who are listening could be screaming, saying, it doesn't matter where they pick. You know, it's a terrible franchise. Yeah. And they have a point. And at the same time, the best franchise is New England and Pittsburgh. And they find diamonds at the end of the first round. And in the later round, doesn't matter.
Where or they trade pick, up to 11 to get Devin Bush.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. But yeah, but they do more with less as far as the draft goes. But it is worth noting that the team's going to, right now in the 7th spot.
Right now. Yep. And it the way the season's going to be playing out, it looks like their range is probably going to be between like 5 and 15. And probably closer to
the 5 side of that.
Right.
All right, let's we're moseying along here in the podcast. Let's talk about the Bears. We're not going to do our normal.
We know the Bears, right?
2 weeks ago, we saw the Bears and the time we've missed them. They've lost to the Rams and then beat the Giants. Hit 19 points against the Giants and only reached 7 against the Rams. So not great offensive performances.
Weren't they down I think they were down 14-3 and then scored 16 points in the third quarter and that was it.
They rallied.
Yeah, they have a way of basically looking like complete garbage for 3 quarters of the game, and then just one of those quarters they happen to put up like 2 touchdowns, and then they ride their defense the rest of the way, and that's pretty much how the Bears win because their offense is not better. Since we last seen them, they lost Trey Burton, who's their starting tight end, and then Adam Shaheen, who's their number 2, is injured. Hasn't practiced this week. Probably won't play. Their number 3, Ben Browniker, who scored a touchdown against us. He's their number 3. He is in concussion protocol. He probably won't play. So now they're down to like their 4th tight end, who will be the starter. I mean, we mentioned earlier about their run offense being 31st in the league. Trubisky is, you know, as Jekyll and Hyde is anybody, right?
Yeah, but he was Jekyll against us the first time around.
Yeah, and again, in one quarter of play.
Sure.
Right? 2 drives. Other than those 2 drives, he looked pretty bad.
Had Hyde tendencies.
And their pass game is in the bottom third of the league. They're like 24th, right? So,
but we're also in the bottom quarter
and
defense.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Additionally,
and limited due to injuries.
But speaking of injuries, Taylor Gabriel, who scored a touchdown against us, their wide receiver, he's also in concussion protocol, so he won't play. So,
Allen Robinson has been playing well as of late.
Yep, and he'll draw Slay. And Anthony Miller, their slot guy, will probably draw Coleman. And that'll leave Wims, who is a 7th-round pick from last year. He will be the guy who will probably draw Owoariye. And
we'll also see Tariq Cohen on the backfield. They just hand the ball in. They'll try to throw the ball.
And Montgomery's not a bad runner either, right? The rookie third rounder, he is decent. But you know, they lost their right guard Kyle Long before they played us last time. Their right tackle Bobby Massey is injured. He's not going to play. Their backup right tackle T.J. Clemens is on IR. So now they're looking at Cornelius Lucas as their starting right tackle heading into this game.
Welcome back to Ford Field.
Right? So we'll see him. It'll be interesting to see him versus Kennard and see if Kennard can get some sacks again. That would be productive anyways. If Deshaun Hand is back, Deshaun Hand should be able to play well against him. So now your right guard and right tackle will both be reserves. They in the game, last game we played them, they switched Cody Whitehair and Daniels, the left guard and center. They're still at their spots from that switch. Leno's still their left tackle. So they're still going to have that left side is, you know, the same as what we've seen, but that right side is not so great. So there's problems. There's problems on their offense. And our defense, with the run defense getting better, is good. Hopefully that run defense can help alleviate some of the problems in the passing game. That we have the passing defense game. And so, you know, you're hoping for turnovers and you're hoping for three and outs. Those are the main keys when the Bears offense is on the field.
We buried the opening. Okay. Right? Vegas line. Opened at Lions 1.5, now it's Bears 2.5. Moved all the way to the other side. I don't know if that had to do with Driscoll's health or
I do.
Referee's going to be Jerome Boger, who 13.6 penalties per game, which is well under the NFL average, 14.3. Of course, it's a nationally televised game because there are three nationally televised games on Thursday. We draw Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, and Aaron Andrews, Fox's, and Christina Pink, Fox's number one team.
Yeah, they will kick off Thanksgiving with a bang, right? And we'll see what happens. It'll be an incredibly low-scoring game, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably rather boring game.
Yeah,
it's probably a lot of opportunities to get up and go into the dining room and get something to eat.
The spin on Fox will be, man, these defenses are really good, right?
Yeah, defense looks great today. Yep. Jeff Driscoll, he's a big athlete. You know, it's not, you know, instead of like saying, "Well, he's a good." It's a backhanded compliment because they're not going to say he's a good quarterback. He's like, he's a great athlete. Barry Sanders is going to be an honorary captain.
Oh, yeah.
On tomorrow. One week after being named as on the NFL's 100th anniversary all-time team.
Right.
Also with Dutch Clark. They're going position by position. They only did running backs last Friday.
Yeah, now they're doing...
They'll do two positions.
Yeah,
now,
they're doing
running backs is a big deal. These are some of the greatest players in the history of the game. They're very famous guys. So I think they deserve their own evening, like the quarterbacks will at the end.
Yeah, the segment was neat. A little 7-minute segment they had with Barry on NFL Network was kind of neat. They had
Belichick.
Smith. Yeah, Belichick, and then Collinsworth was there with Rich Eisen hosting. And they had Emmett Smith was there, and then oh my gosh, why am I blanking on the Browns running back, the greatest
Jim Brown?
Thank you, Jim Brown was there, and Eisen pointed out that between Brown, Emmett Smith, and Barry Sanders, they had run for 26.1 miles, which is 0.1 mile, 1 mile away from a marathon.
Marathon's worth of rushing yards.
Just between the three of them. And Emmett talked about the fact that if Barry hadn't retired early, how he believes Barry would have been the only running back ever to break 20,000 yards because...
Frank Gore's still playing.
He is. He is. And he just passed Barry for third all-time. But, it was very complimentary. Nice things said about Barry. He will, like you said, he'll be the honorary captain. They're producing a shoe in his honor. Nike is producing a shoe in his honor. It's a sneaker, but it looks just like the cleats that he wore, where it has the Velcro strap over the top.
Yeah.
And it's on the 20th anniversary of his retirement, right? And so there, it's got a 20, his number 20, right? Oh, 23, right? Blah, blah, blah.
I miss the mural that used to be downtown. Mm-hmm. The Nike ad, where it's like, sure, how many thousands, you know, this many thousands of yards to Canton. You know.
He, the cool thing is about these shoes is they made 2,053 of them. Pairs
for the 1997 rushing total,
right? Exactly. And they're selling them at Ford Field currently today for like $175, and then they're gonna sell them, like, anybody who gets into the game tomorrow early will have a chance to buy them, and then after the game starts at 12:30, then they're gonna put them up online, and then they're gonna drop the price down to like $150. And so then people can buy them at home. But you're also hoping 2,000 people haven't bought them up in the 24 sure. hours since. So you can save $25 by buying them online. Or if you're down at Ford Field, you have a chance to get something that's, you know, a rare specialty Barry Sanders keepsake. So and so that's, you know, good for Barry. I like
greatest player in team history.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough to see him play yeah. in our youth, and mm-hmm. a lot of the other listeners were able to, too. Sadly, our younger listeners didn't really get to see him play much because he was retired by 1999.
Yeah.
None of us got to see Dutch Clark play.
We did not.
There may be a really old listener that we have that may have seen him in his like real formative youth. Really, he's the oldest guy that's on the team, that the only player that started and played his full career before 1940, and only Steve Van Buren and Marion Motley started their playing career in the late 30s. Well, Motley in the late 40s, but Van Buren, most of his career was in the 40s. So that's quite an accomplishment for Dutch. I mean, he can enjoy it now.
Right.
Yeah, one of the 12 best running backs in league history. So it's quite impressive. I was surprised to see him on the list.
It was nice. It was nice for him to get the recognition. He had three rushing titles, right?
I think. Rushing titles. He was the all-time leader in touchdowns scored. And yeah. you know, in that era, and then I think it was four times all first team All Pro, which is a ton. You know, it's hard to do mm-hmm. even back then. So. All right, we got to mention the defense real quick.
How are we doing?
We don't have to.
No, how are we doing on time?
No, we don't. Yeah, okay. We don't. We'll have Khalil Mack. Yeah. We'll have Daryl Bevel. You know, doing a nice first scripted 15, and they'll have a nice script coming out of halftime. But that'll be about it.
The big thing is they're missing Danny Trevathan. Probably going to miss him for the game. He's your off-the-ball linebacker that starts next to Roquan Smith, which means you're going to see some Nick Kawatowski, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to be missing most likely their third safety in McManus, but he doesn't play that much anyways. So, yeah, it's pretty much going to be the same defense minus Trevathan that we saw last time, which is difficult.
It's tough to move the ball, especially if Driscoll's hobbling around, but hey, who knows what David Blau is going to be able to finish. Mr. Blau.
I think there's going to be a lot of, 3-4, 5, and then outs on both sides of the ball. If you like defense, you're going to like this game. I think that the scoring is going to be low, in particular, in my opinion.
Your expert opinion.
Yeah, you had the lower point total last week. And we both picked wrong, but you had the lower point total.
I know, I couldn't believe it, that you suckered me in. Suckered me into picking the Lions. Because we were talking before we started, and you're going on how bad Washington is.
They were.
But we're 1-21 all time. Well, we don't win there. You know, and we're a bad team, too.
They outplayed Washington, but like I go back to my rant earlier, and I'll just leave it at that, I guess. All right, I'm going to let you pick this game because you are one game away from being Dormy against me.
Oh, I could go Dormy.
Yeah, if you get this one. So,
Bears 21-13.
All right. I am going to flip it. And I am going to say, I think the Lions pull this one out.
Oh, well, that'd be great. They can win tomorrow, lose the rest of the games.
Is a game that I think is going to be closer. I think it's going to be a 17-14 game. And I'm hoping in my mind, I think a Matt Prater field goal to win this thing could easily be in the cards. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be some turnovers that happen at the wrong time that lead to points.
It'll be cranberry sauce out on the field. It's a sloppy game.
So you take the Bears. I'll take the Lions. I think it's a much closer score than you, but let's see if I can get closer in the win column. I think
this is usually when you go on your run.
Yeah.
This time of year. Because I'm usually ahead at this point of the year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I just lose focus on how good or bad the team is. And this is when you really rally, because it's when you're really zeroed in on the team.
Yeah, but this is more my gut saying it's Thanksgiving and they're better than they showed last week and they could be getting some guys back. And I really have zero faith in Chicago's offense,
even though what happened 2-3 weeks ago.
No, I think he can score twice, and that's about it. And so if the Lions can score three times, away you go. Mm-hmm. That's my guess.
All right, so we had an increase of shout-outs.
Yeah, we got two.
Yeah, so that's good.
That's nice. It means the machine isn't broken.
Yeah, the machine's working. Apple's on top of things.
So we're up to 254. What's that? We're still like, 11 behind a couple of the other Lions podcasts that
we're rallying.
That we want to get that
we're
want to catch.
We're younger than them too, so yep. we have a younger podcast. So
we appreciate all the efforts.
Yeah, we love it.
Getting
we really
there.
Appreciate it.
A listener 2487 gave us a review. They gave us some tips on some audio things, like on how to improve our audio. We should probably just explain. We record this in my garage, and
you've just ruined the whole thing. this is not a garage.
This
it's
is
a podcast studio.
But this is where I do my Periscopes. Except I have a little
you
different
the
spot.
Right wall.
You
should do it right. You should sit in front of the fridge with all the logos on it and just do it there, because that would have been the best. Best look.
I open the garage and I do it outside. But like
you do have a nice outside. You should do it. With your back to the pool?
I've done that before.
Okay, good. I've seen you do a few of them, but I was like, turn and face the pool. Turn 180 degrees and do it, because the pool would be right behind you.
The trick is we need to be able to manage my children and keep them out of the microphone, because they love the microphone.
They do.
And they definitely want to be podcasters when they grow up, for sure.
Well, they'll definitely be allowed to, because anybody can be a podcaster. Just look at us two. Anybody can do it.
Exactly. So we are looking at ways to improve the audio. We know we've had a couple people comment on it before.
We do have long-term plans.
Yeah.
It's hard to execute them right now.
We have a spot in the basement, but there's all kinds of factors that go in, and most of them rely on me and my children. Unfortunately.
And sadly, me and my work schedule. It's tough.
Yeah, but we do our best. We hope that we can get, we hope that you still enjoy listening. We know that, even when you're giving us advice, the ratings are still high and we still love it. It's going to be, we're going to keep improving.
Keep improving. We're going to keep doing it no matter how low this team sinks. We're going to stick with it.
Well, you know what? There's always something to.
Hey, if it ever turns around and becomes great, that'll be worth it.
We'll have a lot of cached audio time, right? So,
yep.
We're getting to a point where there's always positives that you can take away, and it's just a matter of shifting those positive thoughts from were we going to the playoffs to now, how are we going to improve? And that's fine. I mean, it stinks to be shifting to the off season and before Thanksgiving, but if that's where we end up going,
the situation.
That unfortunately, yeah, it kind of is. And so maybe we'll start dissecting this team a little bit more over the next month, and then when we get into the winter months, we'll have a lot more information, I guess, to pass out. And I know a lot of people have been contacting me online. On Twitter and whatnot, asking about who should I be scouting, who should I look at.
He's already looking into this.
Oh, I've already got my board kind of hashed up. It's I've got my first like 200, 250 players probably down that I think need to kind of be on the radars. That'll double by the time April comes around. But I've got some information.
Doesn't have the Justin Herbert in the top five.
I do not.
if Burrow's and Tua. And Tua.
Yeah. And then Burrow. He and then Burrow but then Justin Herbert is going to have to battle Love as well.
Jordan Love, that's good to see, cuz last year, or was it 2 years ago, when he almost pulled off that win in Spartan Stadium, you know, everybody was furious. There was, little did we know, things were worse than they appeared for the Spartan team. But it's like, this guy's great. They can't stop this Jordan Love guy. And I followed him the rest of the year. I was like, he better be the All-Mountain West team quarterback. He played too great, you know, for him to just crap out from here. And he's been very good, and he continues to be very good. He's a good player.
Quarterback, or offensive coordinator changed for him this year, so his numbers have been down.
Stats aren't the same. Yeah, they aren't as good this year. I was watching him this last weekend.
Fundamentals are there, though. I mean, he's a good fundamental player. And so I think you can build off of that. You know, I think the Lions, if they're looking at quarterbacks, it's going to be a little bit later. And we can get into that would be a fun debate I think we can have, or a fun discussion a little bit later, is when do you draft a backup quarterback? When's too early? I think we can start getting into that stuff a little bit later, because that's a question that people want to know. Like, why, you know, what we have Driscoll, and that's fine, and we have Blount, and that's fine, but do they need to get somebody else? And if they do, what's the draft capital that you would utilize to get somebody like that? So we'll get into that more as we go. Hey, man, have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
And I hope everyone enjoys themselves, and I'm hoping that Matt Prater makes everybody happy.
Yeah, well, hopefully so. And if he doesn't, hopefully everybody still has a fun time on Thanksgiving anyways. And until next week, let's go Lions, Turkey Day edition.